Good evening, everyone. As we can see, Brother Obed, since it's the fifth Sunday of the month, he's out visiting a local congregation in town. So that's why I'm up here tonight. So we'd like to also welcome those that are visiting with us. Thank you for choosing to worship here with us. Let us open our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and we'll read verses 7 through 14. Tonight's lesson, what I'd like to talk about or get across to us is that this word, God's word, is what is going to judge us. This word is what is going to judge all mankind. And so what I'd like for us to see is that God gives us everything we need for salvation through his son Jesus Christ. But the thought of tonight is, if this word is going to judge me on that day, then I need to be prepared. I need to know what this word has to say, because this is the word that's going to judge me on that day. This is the word that's going to judge you on that day. And that's the thought that I'd like to get across tonight. And the first thing I'd like for us to do is, first of all, here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 through 14, we see that Peter talks about that day, that there will come a day, the second coming of Christ. Now we can ask ourselves, are we prepared for that day? How can we prepare for that day? And so I'd like to first of all establish that there is a day, and we've studied this before, because I know that I've taught this lesson about the second coming of Christ, and we've read these verses, but I'd like for us to establish that there is that day that is coming. So 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. The Apostle Peter says here, but the heaven and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that should all come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And we'll stop there. So the Apostle Peter is telling us here in this last verse that we just read. So if we know that this is going to happen, he says, knowing then that this is going to happen, what kind of person ought we to be? In other words, are we preparing ourselves? Have we prepared ourselves for that day? Now, I have no doubt in my mind that that day will come. Whether you believe it or you choose not to believe it, that day will come. And so The Apostle Peter, going back to verse 7, he says that the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. And listen to what he says in the second half of this verse. They are reserved unto fire against the day of what? Of judgment. And perdition of ungodly men. Later on we'll see, because the book of Romans talks about this, that if we're prepared, then, you know, we await that day to come. But Peter is telling us here, he says that the heaven and the earth that are now, he says, by the same word, they are reserved unto fire. So everything that we see, everything that we see around us will no longer be. And the Apostle Peter here tells us in verse 9, he says that the Lord, the problem that they were having here is some men were saying, if we read chapter 3, the first verses, he says that some of you are saying, where is this promise? When is he coming? Is it ever going to happen? But verse 9, the Apostle Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. As that some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering. So what is God's purpose? What does God want? If this world and everything that we see is going to be destroyed, what does he want from mankind? According to verse 9. What does he want from you and what does he want from me? He wants us to obey the gospel. He says his promise is going to happen, but he's long-suffering. He says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So this is what God expects from us. This is what he wants from you. This is what he wants from me, is to obey the gospel. And so knowing then that all these things will be dissolved, what kind of person ought to be? And he says we ought to be what? Holy people before God. Waiting and hasting for what? For that day. And so we see here that this is one scripture that talks about the coming of Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 was supposed to be my first verses that I was supposed to read according to my notes, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 23. He says, but every man in his own word, in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are in Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority of power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'd like to focus on verse 24 here. When Jesus comes for the second time, the Apostle Paul here is telling us that he will deliver up the kingdom to God. And we could ask the question, what is the kingdom? It's the church, the one that Jesus purchased with his blood. That's the one that Jesus is coming for. And so if this is the case, then we need to be found where? in the church, in which Jesus died for and purchased with his blood. Jump over to verse 50. He says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption." He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So he's talking about that day. He says, "We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed, and it will happen in a twinkling of an eye." And he says that this corruptible cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this corruptible cannot enter heaven. Flesh and blood cannot enter heaven. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. And so he says that, so in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So we see here that the Apostle Paul says that we will not all sleep. And so on that day, does this mean that there will be some of us that will be alive physically? Yes. But there will be that change in a twinkling of an eye. And that trumpet shall sound. And what I understand about the trumpet, that the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, is that every eye shall see him, and that every knee shall bow to him. So everyone, all of mankind, shall see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, once again, the thought is that if this word is the one that's going to judge me on that day, what should I do? What should I ought to do? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's talking to Timothy. And he knows about his grandmother, because we see it in chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which was dwelt also first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and of love and of sound mind." Now, verse 15, chapter 2 and verse 15 of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy here, he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so if the Apostle Paul is telling this to Timothy, to continue and study to show thyself approved unto God, this is what we need to be doing. We need to be studying the scriptures so that we can be approved what? Before God. Not before men, but before God. And we need to rightly divide the word of truth. Chapter 3, of 2 Timothy, verse 15. He says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So this is why it's important to study, to show thyself approved unto before God, because the holy scriptures will do what to us? Will do what to our souls? They are able to make you wise and what? Unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. So this is where we find salvation, is in God's word. This is why it's important for us to study. This is why it's important for us to search scriptures daily. What does it say in the book of Acts about the Bereans? What did they do when they heard somebody come up and preach? What were they doing? They were searching the scriptures to see if what they were preaching was true. It says that the Bereans were more noble. And so they were searching the scriptures, making sure that was what was being said was scripturally and sound before God. And it's because, again, like the Apostle Paul here says, because it is able to make thee wise before God. Let's turn over to John chapter 12. I'd like to make another point here in John chapter 12. Beginning with verse 44. Verse 42. And we'll see Jesus saying these words in beginning with verse 44. But let's begin with 42. And this is what's happening when Jesus is talking among the people. He says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." So Jesus is telling them, if you see me, then if you believe in me, then you believe in God. You see God, because Jesus is God, and he'll tell us here in the other part of the scripture that the words that he speaks, he says, "These words that I speak are not my words, but they're the words that my Father has given me to give to you." And why is he saying this? Because these are words that give you what? He's talking about giving them life and being the light. And so Jesus says, "These words that I speak to you are words that my Father has given me, and I give them to you." And he says in verse 47, "And if any man hears my words and believe not," he says, "I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Listen to what verse 48 says. "But he that rejecteth me rejects not my words." Jesus is talking here. He says, you're not rejecting my words because these are not my words. You're rejecting because the words that I speak are my Father's words. And he says, "The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in" what? "The last days." And so we see here that Jesus is telling us that these are the words that are going to judge us on that day. So it's important for us to find out the plan of salvation that God has prepared for us in His Word. These are God's Word being related to me and being related to you. So it's important for us to know God's Word. And I'll give you an example that comes to mind. Is, let's say we got a ticket, you know, a speeding ticket. You know, now they have cameras and at the intersections, and we got a ticket in the mail, and so we have to, you know, we're going to fight that ticket. And we have to go before the judge. Now, what is the judge going to use to either find you guilty or innocent? What is he going to use? He's going to use the law. According to what the law says, that's how you're going to be judged. Whether we're innocent or guilty, that's what he's going to use, is the law. And so when we come before God, what's going to judge us is, it's which law? Is it the civil law that's going to judge us? No, it's God's Word that's going to judge us. We're going to compare our lives and every deed that we have done in this world against God's Word. That's how we're going to be judged. That's how we're being judged. And so this is why Jesus says here, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. And so if we're before the judge and we are innocent, then the law will find us what? Innocent. The same law. And so, what am I saying here? So, if we're abiding in God's Word, in God's law, then on that day, what's going to judge me on that day? With that thought, let's go over to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Beginning with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so if we are abiding in God's Word and we are walking according to the Spirit, then what does the Apostle Paul says here in the book of Romans? There is no condemnation. And so this is why, brothers, my thought for tonight is that we need to study to find ourselves approved before God, because there is therefore no condemnation if we abide in God's law. This is what the Apostle Paul says here. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who are walking according to the Spirit and not the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, though the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemneth sin in the flesh. And so if we walk in the Spirit, you can also read Galatians. Talks about walking in the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit is what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. And so there is no condemnation. And so the law, if we abide in the law, if we were before the judge and we were abiding by the law and that ticket that we got, I was abiding by the law, there is then no condemnation for you because you were abiding by the law. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. Let's go ahead and read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read that one again, and we'll continue reading through chapter 4 and verse 1. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's it. Walk in the Spirit. This is what Scripture, if we study Scripture and we follow according to God's Word, we will be found, we will be made perfect, and we will be thoroughly furnished with everything that we need. Charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge, chapter 4, verse 1, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his. And the last thing I'd like to say tonight is, I like the way the Apostle Paul, here in chapter 4, how he's sure of his salvation. How after he has run his course, he knows that he has eternal life with God. He says, chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. And this is the same. I'd like to read this because this is the same just feelings or thoughts that we should have as we are running our course. He says, beginning verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he's about to pass away physically. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept what? The faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And he says, and not only to me, but unto all them that also what? Love his appearing. So we see here how the Apostle Paul is so sure of his salvation because of how he has lived his life. And the words that I'd like to focus on here is in verse 8. Because he says here that there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness. And he says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give him on that day. Have you ever thought about those two words, the righteous judge? How many of us have been treated unfairly? I think we all have. The Apostle Paul here says that God is a righteous judge. And so, this is what I'm saying. What we get on that day, whether it be eternal life with God, or eternal damnation, separation from God,
God is not unrighteous. He will give each one what we deserve. And this is what the Apostle Paul here is saying, that he is a righteous God. But he also comforts us because he says that not only to him, but to all of those that are faithful and obey the gospel. And so, to end our lesson tonight, knowing then that these words will judge us, let us search the scriptures daily. We read that the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise and wise unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says that that the Scriptures is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to Jew first and also to the Greek. And so this is the lesson tonight. If there is a need among us tonight, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation.